I declare the meeting open at 3:03 PM. Apologies. We have apologies from Councillor Rodney Sinfield, who is doing professional development at the moment. All other councillors are here and present. Acknowledgement of country. I begin today by acknowledging the Palitur and Panahia past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians on the land on which we gather today, and I pay my respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Moving on to page 7, which is confirmation of the minutes, that the council receives and confirms the minutes of the last ordinary council meeting. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Councillor House is a mover. Seconder, Councillor Smedley, thank you. Any discussion, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. Thank you. That is unanimous. Got that. Declarations of interest for any councillors? Any declared? That is no. Moving on to page 8, which is the council workshop report. So it is in the agenda on page 8. I then move on to page 9, and bear with me while I get my computer up to speed. Page 9, you've got Mayor and Councillor reports. I've just got one that's just come through today. So this is from Craig Fox, who's the inspector looking after the Deloraine district. It says, hi Wayne, Britt, our customer service officer started back at Deloraine station last week. Her shifts are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of week one and Tuesday, Wednesday of week two. Station hours are from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. with a half hour break. On occasions, Britt will be required at Longford to cover the absence of the customer business officer there. So hopefully that's a good all-round benefit for Deloraine, with the station having somebody there on site most of the time. Don't say that. Also, just want to announce that obviously today, 11th of 11th, Remembrance Day, from all reports, a good turn up at Westbury and a good roll up at Deloraine as well. And we should obviously remember those that serviced our country in years gone by. So, are there any other councillor nominations or acknowledgements from around the table? Take that as Councillor Cameron.
I just wanted to acknowledge Deloraine Rotary and all of the other organisations that helped with the craft fair. Deloraine was absolutely buzzing, and I know it's just an absolute mountain of work, so just want to acknowledge everything that they do to put into that, because I believe it was a great success.
Thank you. Thanks, councillors. Moving on to page 10 for me is petitions. No petitions were received from this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? Take that as no. Thank you. Community representations, which is page 10. There were no community representations were received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? Take that as no. Move then into public question time. So, public question time. So there's 14 questions that have been asked and answered in today's public questions with notice section about the council's proposal to increase use of the Westbury Town Hall. We anticipate there will be more from the gallery today, but before opening up to the questions without notice, I'd like to provide some further information. We're currently seeking feedback on two options that we're considering. A change to the use of the Westbury Town Hall is option one. Option two does not involve any changes to the Westbury Town Hall. Under option one, the Westbury Town Hall will be opened up to the local democracy and used as our council chambers. This would in turn free up the existing space within our council buildings for additional permanent workstations, utilising the room that we're currently seated in. The Westbury Town Hall would not be used for offices or used for employee workstations. This has never been considered by council. Under option one, the town hall setup is intended to be flexible enough to accommodate community use. If your concern is that the community will be locked down in the town hall, neither option proposes that. If you're opposed to the town hall being changed in any way, option two caters for that. As I mentioned, we currently have two options being considered by council, one involving the Westbury Town Hall and one not involving the Westbury Town Hall. We've asked the Meander Valley community to share their thoughts with us by completing a survey on the topic, which can be accessed on our website via a link from our Facebook page or by requesting a paper copy at our Westbury offices or the Visitor Centre in Deloraine. Thank you. So we move on to public question time. So there were questions with notice. They're on page 12 of today's agenda. Bear with me while I scroll through. We then move on to, public questions without notice. So if you have a question to ask, I'll ask that you go to the lectern. There is a microphone there. Use the microphone. Please tell us your name, and you have 3 minutes to ask two questions, and we'll endeavour to either answer those questions or take them on notice. So a minimum of 15 minutes for public question time. Obviously, as Chair, I'm usually flexible enough to allow to flow through as questions flow. So we're open for public question time. If you want to ask a question, please. Somebody's got the microphone. The mic's there for... Anthony's got the microphone, so please come forward, ask questions, please. Please rise with me. And so, John, just to clarify, John, you are talking as a representative on an item that's coming up later in the meeting. This is question time, for open for all other questions.
Right.
Okay.
John Hawkins, the question is about Bentley, where I currently live as the tenant. The land designated CT 150268/1 is not on Bentley. 1519 Mole Creek Road, and was incorrectly transferred to Chatsworth Enterprises at the time of sale. I would like this transferred back to Hawkins rather than the Kalingal and Chatsworth Enterprises. So in other words, I'd like them to transfer it to me. It's 815 square metres. It's neither here nor there, but it's on the wrong side of the boundary. And it was a matter not picked up when the transfer and sale was made to Chatsworth Enterprises. I would like to pay all the costs. I have no interest in not buying the block of land. But I don't think the transfer that is about to be discussed on the deeds should go ahead until that's sorted out. The second question is that the block behind the honey farm, which is much more interesting than anybody possibly knows, was given by the council illegally to the owners of part of the railway line under the previous council general manager. And to make that work, a small strip about that wide has been added to the title of the honey block land and taken off the railway line, which is totally illegal. So if this is going to progress, bear in mind that what you're doing on this subdivision, which is requested by Chatsworth Enterprises, is at this point in time dealing with an illegal transaction over land. One strip that wide down the railway line of that block. So that is a question is, what are you going to do about it?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. John? Thanks, John. We'll have to take those on notice. Obviously, we'll be talking about a planning item. We'll take those on questions on notice. And we'll be talking about the same thing in a planning item further on in the meeting.
I'm a bit deaf, but I agree.
Next, question from the floor.
Hello, everyone. I'm Karen McKenzie. I live in King Street, West Spring, and I'm also Secretary of the West Spring Garden Club. My first question, will Council agree to hold another open Westbury forum in the near future so that all the details planned for the town hall and the supper room changes can be provided to the community and discussed openly before Council makes any decisions, and then can that forum be in the town hall, please? The second question, will the two annual Westbury Garden Club flower shows still be permitted to be held in the town hall and supper room complex after any of the proposed or planned changes by Council? And does Council realise that if carpeting the town hall is part of those renovations, that would rule out the only suitably appropriate venue Garden Club has for its future flower shows? Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Well, I'll answer the second one. The second one regarding the flower show, I think it's always been the intention of Council sitting around the table to make access to the town hall available, all right, regardless of what plans we have and looking at turning that into a council chambers. It was never thought about and never discussed by councils that would never be available for public access.
Thank you.
That's a commitment good on that one. The first question I'm going to throw to the GM regarding the forum.
Yeah, we had a forum in
I think it was September in Westbury. We do those every 3 months. We rotate them through different townships through the municipality. We don't have another one planned for Westbury, as in we don't have one booked in currently. That's not to say the council can't consider if they would like to hold another one. So I guess that's the answer there. For the second question, the discussions that we have had, the concern that the garden club has around using a carpet facility has been passed on. I have discussed with the garden club a number of alternatives that council has considered might be an option for the garden club in the future, but I guess that's a bit presumptuous around the option that is selected. We're considering two options, and yeah, I guess really encourage all the garden club members and anybody else within the community to provide their feedback, and we'll certainly be discussing with the garden club what our plans look like for the town hall, whether it is option one or no change. We'll be continuing to discuss that with the garden club anyway. So we want to see the garden club events continue. We've said that all along. It's just about a matter of what facility it could be used to host the event to ensure the viability of the event. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Hello, Danielle Farabright from Parsons Street, Delaware. Recently, I attended the Meander Valley Performing Arts Centre's annual short plays festival, and having attended the theatre since I was 17, which is a goodly long while now, I was extremely impressed with the world-class character and quality of the writing in all of the plays. I noticed on a cursory glance at your website today that you have allocated only $100,000 to the performing arts in the last year in this area, which is supposed to be renowned for its artists, not just painting artists. So question one would be, is council aware that the Little Theatre in Deloraine is actually the oldest theatre in Australia, or one of them? Because the character of the floors, which somewhat goes to the use of the Westbury Town Hall as well, if you were to cover the floor, as the previous speaker was referring to, which would limit the garden show and the spilling of beverages and soils on carpeted floor. And of course, you probably have a good amount of Tasmanian oak. And I would have thought that you would have to be obliged to be in communication with Heritage Foundation of Tasmania, the heritage organisation for such buildings, and I would have thought it would be a substantial change to the character if you did carpet the floor. However, it's I guess the first question, therefore, is, are you aware that you're sitting in, you're presiding over one of the oldest theatres in Australia, whose curtains are literally threadbare, whose floors are not restored, who have gorgeous character seats, and the flats, they're the four or three pieces of black diagonally placed pieces of board on either side of the theatre stage could easily be used with modern technology such as we see in Vivid in Sydney, where you throw lights onto the opera house that are specifically designed for a particular shape. Every single one of those plays would have been brilliantly improved by the use of laser technology light forms from up the top to completely change. Instead of set changing, you can do it with lights now. And the $7,000 measly dollars, sorry, but it's the 50th anniversary of the dismissal today, and if Gough Whitlam was great for so many things, one of them was the arts. And of course we've got Winston Churchill's remark about what are we fighting for. It seems to me a fairly paltry allocation of funds to the arts. So are you aware that, and so I guess the question, second question therefore is, do you intend to increase the specifically performing arts budget? There's three questions there. Are you in liaison with the Heritage Foundation about the Westbury Town Hall? Do you intend to increase the budget allocation for the performing arts specifically? And are you aware that $7,000 wouldn't even touch the sides of a proper renovation to one of the oldest theatres in Australia that's down the road that could be actually bringing money into this township if it were upgraded to the world-class venue it should be?
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. Well, I'll go with the first one. Is council aware of the age of the Little Theatre and the history of it?
Yes, we are.
Do we intend to spend more money on it? I guess in my term as mayor, we have had representations from community members to spend money at the Little Theatre, and we've spent bits and pieces as we've been asked. Do we intend to spend a lot more? I couldn't tell you that at the moment because I don't know. As far as the Westbury Town Hall, the Heritage, I'm going to throw to the GM because the GM's been dealing with that one. Yeah, I think it was... You got the third question. Have we been in consultation with the Heritage Commission regarding the Westbury Town Hall? I think that was the question.
Yeah, I think the last ones were at $7,000.
Sorry. Look, there's probably four questions in there. That's all right.
Yeah, we're aware that there's a heritage listing around the Westbury Town Hall, so that's good. I just want to talk about some of the points you made earlier, Danielle, about the works plan for the Little Theatre. So we have been in discussions with users, that sort of thing. So some of the things that we have planned over the next 2 years is a curtain. I can't remember, I don't have the values in front of me, but we have a work plan to upgrade the curtain and also the stage itself in the next couple of years. So and there was also a hoist that we discussed. I'm not quite sure where, what point in time that landed. I guess things, we deal with long life assets, so things, it's not going to be a consistent regular speed each year. Things aren't linear. So I think that in the next 2 years, we will actually end up spending quite a bit there, but we may not for the following 8 years, if you know what I mean there. So the $7,000, again, I don't have that in front of me, but it may just be that that is to cover the operating costs of the theatre. So it may be things like cleaning, electricity, those sorts of things. So, but there's a few things that we are looking to do to support that facility in the next 8 years.
Thank you. I think about that. Any other questions?
My name's Peter Wallen. I live in Lyle Street in Westbury. The general manager just skipped over part of the last lady's question about the heritage listing. Heritage have indicated that anything other than minor works to the town hall interior will need their approval. What refurbishment is council proposing or considering, and will approval for the heritage council be sought?
Well, thanks for the question. Yes, if option one were decided and we have a design drawn up, and we would be putting that to the Heritage Council for their approval.
But not yet.
That answers your question.
But not yet. But you haven't approached them yet.
That's right. That decision hasn't been made, Peter. Yes. So, yep.
Second question is, the booking services for the supper room and the town hall are being outsourced to a private West Australian company, no doubt for a fee. How long has that arrangement been in place?
So, for about the last 18 months, I'm going to guess, I'm looking over the, maybe corrected, 18 months to 2 years, I would say. It's not outsourced. What we do is we use a booking software. It's pretty similar. Many other councils within Tasmania and Australia do. So what happens is they book and they keep the calendar updated and they take a small commission of what that fee is for that service.
So that's passed on to the user. If I hire them, I'm paying the fee as well as the council fee.
Yeah. It's an operational part of any council in the state. Thank you. I'll go to any other person that might, before I go back to you, Daniel, if that's okay.
I haven't actually got a question. It's just a comment that I think you might find a bit interesting.
Heather, you didn't tell us your name. A lot of people know your name, but that's all. Thank you. Thank you.
I spent quite a while this morning online filling in the survey. I was polite and respectful, but I did say that I could not choose either of them because I didn't like either of them. The second one because it still meant that the community could not use, excuse me, the supper room as they have done in the past. But when I got to the end of the survey, and I filled it in right to the end of the 250 words, and I clicked submit, I took my eyes away for a few minutes and did something else. When I looked back, a little message had come up that said, "Your submission has been marked as spam." I'm wondering if it was just my submission that was spam, or is this happening to a lot of people online? And I just wondered, can you let me know sometime if you got it? Otherwise, I'll have to go and fill in the form in the shop. Thank you.
Can I just make a comment about that? The last survey, the one about historic Westbury, had similar things happen a number of times, but I actually ran through to council. A couple had gone through, but a couple I had to redo. So.
Thank you. Heather, I'm unaware of that. Straight out unaware of that going through the stand. So, sure the GM will be following up on that at the moment.
That's not, I'll get a
form and fill it. Yeah, no, thanks for raising it because I didn't know. I'm sure others didn't know. Yeah, thank you.
Can confirm, Heather, that yours has come through, so that's great.
Okay. So Jim just looked at it. It did go through, Heather, and I might have said spam.
Oh, good, thank you. Yeah. I thought maybe you didn't like what I was saying.
That's not true, as you know. Okay. Sure.
Can I just, I think, I'm not sure, hopefully it is clear enough on our website where we put the information up around this project, but just on the supper room, I think Heather said that the supper room wouldn't be available for bookings under both scenarios. That won't be the case. We're intending to have the supper room retain the current function that it serves. So.
I spoke with the office got a man, I think he was called, no, I forget what he was called. I asked the office and they got a man who came out and spoke with me about this and said we could not make a booking beyond the end of November for the supper room.
So I just made one to, we made one yesterday for the supper room in March, online that was.
But that's not correct information.
Can't jump around. Sorry. Happy to engage and try and give you as much information as we can on that one. So, next question. Any other questions? Yep.
This is it. And again, I would reiterate, you've got a potentially world-class income earner. Even if you spent $200,000 restoring one of the oldest theatres in Australia, it would be a world-class income earner. So you therefore get to make money, not just spend it. But that goes to my next question. Is Council aware, particularly in light of the revelation of the West Australian Company, which presumably went through the requisite process of tender, the tender process, is Council aware and can they answer exactly how many commercial in confidence clauses are applicable to any of the tendering that is currently being paid for by MVC ratepayers? That is the commercial in confidence clauses with every private or for-profit entity exist to the point where Transurban, who own Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney tollways, told Alan Fells they're suing for $2 billion rather than tell them how much they're earning each year. So every single person who you contract to, or every entity, that this council or any other council or the state government, PricewaterhouseCoopers being a case in point with the Australian Taxation Office, but that's a slight digression. The point of it is, if you have a commercial in confidence clause in place, no one's actually allowed to interrogate how much anybody's being paid for anything. So are you aware of how many commercial in confidence clauses pertain to such things as in any of your tender processes, from roads through to theatres, through to West Australian entities? Ooh.
Obviously we go through a tender process. Commercial in confidence is commercial in confidence within the walls. The councillors and our staff go through the tenders as they come in and we look at them and we award as we see fit for the best of the Mahanna Valley community.
But do you know how many...
Whether we know or we don't know, that's irrelevant. I'll say that we do know and the process is that we go through it and we have professional staff that do that. To your other point about do we know that we have a world-class facility?
Potentially,
all the Mahanna Valley is a world-class facility, and as we sit here as councillors, we've got to look at all the assets that we look at and who we represent in the Mahanna Valley. So take your point about the little theatre, but we've got other assets that we've got to consider as well. So thank you. Any other questions from the floor before I close question time? Okay, take that as no, I'll close question time. Thank you for the questions. Moving on to page 8, councillor question time. Councillor questions with notice. There were no councillor questions with notice. Councillor questions without notice. Councillor Loder.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a question about hall committees. Other places in Meander Valley, such as Carrick, for example, have a very active hall committee. Why doesn't Westbury have a hall committee?
I can't answer that question because I don't know. Very simple. I'm going to say for my little town of Meander, we're a very active Meander town, Meander hall committee. Very active, as other places do. I can't answer it. General Manager?
I can answer. So we have a small number of public hall committees, and they are special committees of council created under a decision of council in accordance with the Local Government Act. So that's what would be required in order to create a new one.
Thank you. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Chappell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Intally House has been a major part of our tourism infrastructure for decades. It has also been important in bringing tourists off the Bass Highway onto the Meander Valley Road, which benefit many other businesses. Is Council aware of Intally's current status and future operations, the planned operations?
Yeah, General Manager.
So, Councillor Temple, while I'm not aware of its current state...
I said status rather than...
So, what I can let you know is that we had a community forum that was raised earlier by a public question there in Hasbin, which was great, had a very good turnout. And we had somebody there to make a representation about Intally House. They were a former volunteer, and they were themselves quite concerned about the condition of the building. Their opinion was that it was being run down by the organisation that the state government has leased it to currently. So there was concern raised at that point in time. I'm not sure if that's validated because we don't have any insight. We haven't had any information. We haven't been on site ourselves.
A follow-up question, Mr. Mayor, if I may. As it has been, it is a major heritage icon and has been a major part of our tourism. Is there any way in which we could write to the state government and find out any information that's available?
You'll take that on notice, Councillor Temple. Thank you for that. Yeah, we'll discuss it at a workshop, if that's okay. Councillor Nuffin.
If I may, just on indulgence to Councillor Temple's question, I wrote to Mr. Obi as the Minister for Heritage last month about this, as it had been raised with me a couple of times with community members in and around Hadson, and I am happy to share the response I received back from her when it is received.
When it is received, so you haven't received it yet.
Sorry, no, I've written to her.
I've written to her, but no response. Okay. Thanks, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Lyla.
Thank you, Mayor. Given that we've got a lot of people in the gallery who are very concerned about the hall and they've requested a forum, could we, an additional forum, could we discuss that at the next workshop, please, with a view to getting people together to talk about this issue?
We will discuss the Westbury Town Hall proposed options at the next workshop, and I guess a forum may come out of that. We may decide what we're doing from then on. I think it's been discussed at last three workshops, remember? So, yep, another one. Thank you. Councillor Cameron, we're going around the table today.
Sorry. I just felt like there might have been a question from the gallery that didn't get asked, and I just wondered if you can clarify, because I'm just reading here online about the survey, and option one goes on to say the adjoining Westbury Supper Room would see refurbishment and upgrades to make it more inviting, a casual meeting space for both community and council. And I'm not sure if that's, because we can't go into back and forth, if that was the question. But maybe you might be able to expand on, we've talked a lot about the town hall, but not necessarily about the supper room. Maybe you might be able to just expand on what it means, casual meeting space for both community and council.
I think that's a question for you, General Manager.
Well, as the Mayor said, we've been talking about this for over 3.5 months. So the current options that have been, that's been defined down to mean different things for the supper room. Long term, that would be an upgraded facility to be used for bookings by community and to be used more often by our employee base, because it will have lighting that's appropriate, heating that's appropriate, power connections that people are able to plug a laptop into effectively. So it will be more fit for purpose for a greater amount of use in option one and option two long term. It's just there will probably be a period of time to get to what that long term vision will be. So, you know, how long does it need to be closed for refurbishment to get new heaters in? Unknown. but it will be closed for a period of time. It's just about how long that period of time is under the option that's selected by council. But our vision for that space is improved use of staff and improved use from the community. So we currently have a small number of regular users. Those regular users have multiple bookings. So I'm just going to pick out an example here of a group that I spoke with recently, which is the Rotary Club of Westbury, and they organise a community evening meal. It's likely that the facility that we end up with will still be suited to accommodate the use. Hope that helps.
Yeah, no, it does. Thank you very much.
Question from me, gentlemen, just having gone around the room. If we take all options off the table as regarding the town hall, do we still need to spend money on the supper room per se? Is that a point where we actually need to do some upgrades?
You said option three.
I'm saying if we take all options off the table and we're just looking at the supper room, I'm asking, do we still have a responsibility to do some upgrades to the supper room regardless of the use of it? That's my question to the gentleman.
I'd say that the facility in its current form isn't being used to the best of its capability, and that council should be spending money there regardless of whatever option is selected. Okay. That's my personal opinion. Currently, we have a small amount of money that we could take over tomorrow and use on that space and be done with. We've elected to go to the community to seek feedback, to see what they think as well.
Thank you. Sorry, I can't take questions from the public on that one. Sorry. Okay, any other questions, Councillor? Councillor Temple, round again, third time lucky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just could you add some clarities to the process? We're getting these community representations coming in over the town hall. The process from there will obviously, they'll be received by a certain date and they'll be reviewed by someone. What is the intended process?
So, Councillor Temple, as you would be aware, because you're at the last workshop, the agreed process with our the people from that workshop was that we would seek feedback from the community and that we would open up a web page on our website last week, which we did. We went live with that, with a survey to receive people's comment, which we have done. We would then bring that feedback to the next council workshop, which will be, I think it's the 25th of November, for council to decide on their preferred way forward. So that's the process that was established. I'm expecting that still is the process. Happy to discuss it more with you if you'd like to.
Okay, thanks, councillors. No other questions? Thank you. We'll move along to councillor notices of motion. No notice of motion were received as part of the agenda. Are there any from the floor? Take that as no. I thought it was passing around. Okay. Right, very good. So then we move on to page 19 and 20. So in planning matters, council acts as a planning authority under Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. So we have a planning authority item in front of us, which is page 10, which is 25 Thrall Street and 1519 Mile Creek Road, Chudley. Mr. Hawkins, you have the chance for a 3-minute address of council on this matter, if you so wish.
I tried.
I'll have to go to the lectern, sorry, Councillor.
You go to page 21 on your computer. You will see opposite the number 1519 Mulgrave Road, an incursion into property that I own, which is now designated green space. And another incursion.
Sorry, Mr. Hawkins, I'm just going to have to close the door and move the people on. There's some noise coming from outside. My apologies. Okay, my apologies. Please continue.
I've been away in China while the whole of this has been going on. I come back to it on Saturday. Today's Monday, Tuesday. It's very difficult for me. But I don't think you should progress this application because that block of land, that section there, is a mistake. Can you see where I mean? It travels to the west of my former property, where 1519 Mole Creek is. There's an indent in the line.
Yep.
And that indent is only 800 square metres. It's nothing. But if you sell it from my former property to my other former property when I need it and it's a mistake, it's wrong. So I'm warning you, I will take you
as a council for failing in your duty when you were warned that that little bit of land is incorrectly. I don't know how it's happened, but I only noticed it when I came back from China, and it's really annoying. And the other bit of land is the railway line. I told the former manager, I told all the parties involved, they could not sell my block on the railway line because I had title to it. They refused to accept that. They sold it for $5,000. And the person who bought it came to me and said, you can buy it back for $50,000. I said, I'm absolutely not going to buy it back for $50,000 because I own it. I finally, after 3 years and two changes of solicitor, found the deeds. I submitted them to the council. The council had a heart attack because they'd sold land they didn't have title to, which I was perfectly correct, and they moved it to the back of the honey farm without any consultation whatsoever with anybody, and gave that block of land to the same purchaser as my block of land on the railway line, which is illegal. Then to make it into a valid property, they stole from the railway line that much land, and the planner can look it up, and the person has gone away who squats in the tin shed on half the railway line at the back of the honey farm, and I can't get the bit of paper that I know is there. You can't sell the railway line into a reduction of things when part of the land has been stolen by the council from the railway line. It's a strip about that wide, all the way down.
3 minutes, Mr. Hawkins. Three minutes. So, yeah. Any other questions for the council or any more representation?
That I've asked that you don't progress this until now we've got the whole of Bentley being split and broken up. Let's discuss it properly, professionally, as a whole unit, because I'm most unhappy with the destruction of my 22 years of work. And if necessary, I'm luckily enough, rich enough, to take on everybody, the council, everyone, for not doing a proper job.
Come have dinner.
Thank you.
At that point, I give up. Thank you.
Are there any other representatives or any other people to speak on this one from the gallery? That one's been listed, so thank you. I'd like to move, somebody like to second the motion as it's in front of us at the moment. Councillor Cameron is the mover of the motion. Councillor Dutton is the mover of the motion, seconder of the motion, sorry. Thank you. Councillor Cameron as the mover of the motion.
Thank you. Okay, so I think today we are here assessing an application, or one application that's before us, and I understand that there may be others coming in the pipeline, but this is the one that is here before us today, so we need to remain on track and assess that application. And I have read this thoroughly and the representations that have come through, and I understand that there is maybe from you, Mr. Hawkins, some concern, but that's not what our role as councillors is to address today. So I am happy to support it, happy to hear from other councillors if there's any other concerns raised, but from where I am today, I'm happy to proceed.
Thanks, Councillor Dunman, and seconder of the motion.
I think likewise there is a lot to take in from that representation. The Deputy Mayor is correct in that what is before us is simply a consolidation of five existing titles and a reorganisation of the boundary at one side. I acknowledge the personal history that the representative has given and appreciate the information that he's given to us. Unfortunately, we do not have the ability to delay this application based on what has been raised. I think it is appropriate to receive independent legal advice, as has been happening for the representative, but on the basis that this is simply a consolidation of five existing titles and a reorganisation of the title boundary, I see no way that I could oppose that, and I won't put words into the representative's mouth, but I don't believe that those two points that we're dealing with today are the core concern of what's been raised. So I will be supporting.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Lowder.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, John, for your representation. Can you hear me all right, John? I can speak fairly loudly. I've spent a lot of time reading this, and I went for a drive to have another look, even though I drive past that way quite frequently. When I saw your representation, I read it very thoroughly because of your history with the place and your care of something that is extremely valuable to Tasmania's heritage. And I really did take into account everything that you and Mrs. Hawkins and the other representor had to say. Unfortunately, as has already been said, we sit here today to consolidate the titles into one. So we're not agreeing to change it in any other way than simply to make it one title. And this is where I have a real moral problem, because I like to listen to the community, but when we sit here as the planning authority, we have to listen to Lupa. And so I feel I have to support this motion today, but it is reluctantly so, because I feel that if you've got problems with it, there probably are problems with it, but as it sits at face value, we're supposed to agree with the planners, who I have huge respect for. So I'm going to support it today, but I am concerned about what might come, but that's purely speculation.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other councillors want to make comment, discussion, questions? Okay. I'll go back to the second on the motion, Councillor Dunman. Nothing to add. Councillor Cameron.
Just to say that Bentley is a magnificent property. I think it really is a credit to yourself, John, and your wife, because it is out of this world, actually. So I don't want to sound like I don't appreciate the work that's gone into it, because it is truly magnificent. But it does sound like there may be some historical issues there regarding the titles, which I'd like to be able to work through, but it's not part of today's decision. So, again, I will be supporting the recommendation.
Thanks, Councillor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Against? So that's Johnson, Cameron, Cronshaw, Dunman, Smedley, Loader, House 4, Councillor Temple against. That's passed. Thank you. Moving on to Planning Authority Report, page 141, Agenda Item PA 26-0042, which is on page, excuse me while I get there, 141.
Thank you.
Thank you. Page 141.
It's all right, we've got a long way to go. And corruption is at the nub of my problem. I'm warning everybody. Corruption is the nub.
Planetarily.
Thank you. 141. Righto. We got anybody to speak on this particular item from the gallery? We did have a couple, but unfortunately I couldn't make it. No one? Okay. We'll move on. Mover and a seconder, please, councillors. Councillor Dudman is the mover. Thank you. Seconder. Councillor House, thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor. I will start by saying that I will be supporting this application. It is in line with the planning scheme and should be approved on that basis. I do appreciate the concerns that have been raised by the representatives, and I did meet with Mr. and Mrs. Butler at their property to discuss the issues that they have been facing with waste management systems on site. I believe they are also understanding that under the current system it is very hard to reject applications with these systems, because it does fit the planning scheme. I will note that based on their concerns, I did write to the planning minister, Minister Vincent, sorry, they change frequently at the moment, about these concerns and about how these wastewater systems are put into residential areas, where perhaps it would be better that they brought in line with the sewage system, and my suggestion on behalf of the representatives was that perhaps the planning scheme should be reviewed to look at that as a wholesale issue affecting our state. The response from the Minister was that if Council wanted to, they could change our planning scheme, which, as we're all aware, is not an easy thing to do and slightly missed the entire point. But I just wanted to note that those discussions have been had separately as well. So I will be supporting this, given the current iteration of the planning scheme, but I do understand the concerns that have been raised by the representatives today.
Thanks, Councillor Duddon. Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Likewise to Councillor Dudmire, I understand the concerns too, but that's not what we're voting on today. It's a proposal for a subdivision only, as has been outlined. I really want to thank the representatives again for raising those concerns, and also, again, to our planning staff who have to do their due diligence on all these matters, and I trust them to do that as they always do so very well. The matters that have been raised might be an issue for another day in relation to waste management, but it's not for this discussion, so I'm in favour also and supportive of the proposal for subdivision.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Any questions of the planners? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. The photos that we've got before us show it being rather damp, flooded indeed, but then it's not designated as being a flood area. I'm just wondering, how can that be?
Would somebody like to perhaps answer that, General Manager, or...?
Through you, Mr Mayor. The area, and particularly the land we are looking at, the property, is not mapped on any stormwater modelling within council or on any SES modelling. We believe that representative unfortunately couldn't actually give us the dates when the photos were taken. We believe that it might have been the 2016 flood event, potentially 2022 as well, but we're not sure at this point in time. And for under the planning scheme, we have to look at the evidence before us and the mapping we have. And under the planning scheme, at this point in time, we don't have any potential to request further information on this particular matter because we don't have the evidence that the block is actually, the land is flooding.
General
Manager. Yeah, so as Jana has said, it's not on the flood mapping that we would refer to for our planning assessment, councillor. However, there are some nearby natural drainage lines. Some are maintained at times by council. I think that the photos in question from the representative were in an extreme rainfall event. And since it's my assumption at this point in time that since the photos were taken, that some work was undertaken in an adjoining property by council to try and alleviate that drainage line. But I look to the Director of Works who might be able to provide advice around when those works were undertaken.
Thanks, Jim. Through you, Mr Mayor. Look, I believe so. The event, I think it was 2022, and Council is correct what the Jim has said. Council did undertake some work further downstream. It's my understanding at the time, I mean, the land is very flat through there, as I'm sure everyone appreciates around the table, and there is downstream a dam catchment as well, so which obviously the spillway height on that dam does dictate some of the backwater into the stormwater system. So council, in consultation with the property owner, undertook work in private property to lower that working level of the dam so it doesn't influence the public drainage system, which is what's shown in those photos. So I don't believe we've had any further issues of that scale since that particular event. We've obviously had significant heavy rain events since 2022, but no flooding, what's shown in those images.
Thank you. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to thank the planners, but I'd also like to thank the representors. I think that they're concerns from judging by the photos, as already has been said, are quite legitimate. But we are looking at a subdivision, not dwellings or any form of stormwater management at this stage. I do want to make the comment, though, I think it is really antiquated that we could entertain the idea in the future of putting a home in the middle of a town with that isn't on reticulated sewerage. That just doesn't sit with me at all. I find that quite incredulous, to be honest, but basically this is for the subdivision and Taswater has said it's okay. We know that Taswater needs to update all its infrastructure over the next few years, so hopefully that might include anything that might come on this particular block. But yes, this is another one that I'm reluctant to agree with, but it is only for a subdivision and anything that comes after has to come back here anyway.
Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? No. Councillor House is second.
Nothing to add, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Dunn, okay, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. So for the remaining agenda items, council is no longer acting as a planning authority. Thank you. Moving on to page 241, which is Review of Policy 83, Fraud and Corruption Control. Somebody would like to move, somebody would like to second, please. Councillor House, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Cronshaw, thank you. Councillor House, member.
Yes, thanks again, Mr. Mayor. We live in an interesting time. We live in an interesting world, for sure, and it's a complex world and it's a complex workplace that everyone finds themselves in, and not just in local government. I suppose it's a bit regrettable we have to have policies of this nature that are so comprehensive, but that's the way it is. And I see this as being a very strong document in terms of protection for all parties, the workers, all the staff, and also the general public. So I think it's very thorough. I note also that it's for people that are starting fresh within the organisation, that it becomes part of the induction program. So everyone's fully conversant with what's required, and that's for protection of themselves as well. So I'm very supportive of the policy, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cronshaw is the second of the motion.
I agree with Kevin. And it's, you know, a sad time that we have to put something like this in practice. I do support it. It's quite comprehensive and it's easy to understand. So I will be supporting this.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Anything to add?
No.
General, any grants? Thank you. Thanks for bringing forward, Craig. I'm obviously supporting it. So, anything to add? Anybody? Back to the seconder. Anything further, Chris? Councillor House? No.
Oh, just again to thank Craig and anyone else who might be involved in putting policies like this together. There's a lot of work, and I'm sure a lot of thought process goes into these things. They're not just made up on the spur of the moment. So, very comprehensive. So, well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to page 250, Infrastructure Services. It's agenda items, budget adjustments, 2025-2026. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Seconder, thank you. Councillor Wader, thank you. Councillor Cameron.
We do budget adjustments from time to time, but I did want to just speak briefly on the amount there around the Blackstone Heights footpath upgrade. Understanding that when we went and did a little bit more work on that after we received a grant, that did become a little bit more expensive, the story of our lives, but we worked really hard, and I really appreciate the work from council working with the federal government to get an excellent result in being able to continue fulfilling that project. So thank you for everyone involved in that. There are a couple of other things there that we need to tidy up, but like I say, this is something that we do from time to time throughout the year, so very happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor Lover.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'm very happy to support this. I was going to say something similar to Deputy Mayor Cameron. From time to time, things, as we know in our own household budgets, they don't go to plan. But the things that are mentioned, and I've got the table up, which details the spending quite thoroughly. I'm particularly, as we all know, excited about the cycleway for Blackstone Heights and the pedestrian walkway. And yes, thank you. It's a lot of money, but one of the biggest criticisms we have is that our infrastructure often doesn't, it always needs to be doing a catch up with new dwellings. And so I fully support this. It's great to see so many good things coming online.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Nothing to add.
Yeah, look, in line with what's been said, you know, I think I'm just continually impressed by how often, how rarely we get asked to change these. I mean, I think there's a lot of due diligence goes into making sure that our budgets are on track. I mean, there has to be some fluidity there, but the reality is, as Councillor Loder said, you know, our own household budgets blow out all the time. Mine certainly does. So I think it's a rare thing we actually get asked to make any of these adjustments. So I compliment everyone on their level of expertise in that area.
Ms. Councillor, any other discussion, councillors? No, I agree with lots been said. It is good to get budget adjustments. It's also good to get a federal grant that we can actually use on our municipal walkways and cycleways, and it certainly will be well used. It will create finish the loop at Blackstone Heights, and it'll be good. It'll be good all round. Councillor Lowe, anything to add? Councillor Cameron, anything to add?
No.
For the motion, all those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Next one is page 254, Governance and Community Wellbeing. Somebody like to move, somebody like to sit. We'll take a pause. So, page 254.
Thank you.
Well, sorry, can't move and second it. Yeah. Sorry, Ben. Second it, thank you. You brush your hair, Councillor Cameron, that'll do. Thank you. Councillor Dutton.
Thanks, Mayor. Look, it's, in one respect, unfortunate that we are having to create a policy to ensure that there can be surveillance and, I guess, some protections in place in the community, but there is a legitimate community need, and that's been raised with us by the community, so more than happy to advance it on that basis. I did raise before my concerns about what was defined as an approved legitimate need under 4.9 of this policy, and appreciate that some work has been put into that to make sure that the definition is clear and understandable. So on that basis, I am happy to support this policy.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron, is a seconder?
Thank you. Yes, this is a new policy, and as Councillor Dudman said, we do live in a world where we wish we didn't have to do this, but we do. It is important, and I just appreciate the work Anthony's put into writing this policy, and I'm more than happy to support it. So.
Thank you. I don't know if it's discussion, councillors. Any read? Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I fully support it as well. I think it's the policies like this that mean that there's no scope for misunderstanding, and should surveillance be used on council properties, then we all know where we stand. So I'm in full agreement.
Thank you. Any other councillors? If not, Councillor Cameron, then Councillor Dunn, put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Over the page from me, excuse me. Page 264, Local Government Amendment Table Reform Bill 2025 submission. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Cameron, Councillor House, I think it was. Do you want to add anything, General Manager, before we go into discussion?
Probably only to say that it was discussed at council workshop, and with, I guess, some of the points of discussion, we weren't unified. We had a range of views, but for the most part, we were in agreement at the end of that discussion. So obviously subject to any amendments that councillors would like to look at making from the floor today. And yes, our submission is due to the state governments this week if we would like to make one. So it's an item for decision today.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron as a mover.
Just to thank the General Manager for the work he's put into this. As you said, that we probably all don't necessarily agree on every point, but I think he's covered off quite well. I was saying earlier on, I did sit in on a Zoom with some other councils, and of course I don't think we're aligned with some of our feelings, and I just use an example here of around mandatory, I'll just scroll past it because I'll do that when I'm talking, introduction of mandatory information on rate notices. Of course, in principle, of course we would support that, but the reality is of some of these proposals were really well intended. There are actually a lot of onus on a already quite overworked local government workforce. So I think John's done a really good job of summing up our thoughts in the discussion. So thank you.
Councillor House.
Nothing really to add after that.
Right. Good. Okay. Councillor Ryder.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I've sat on a few webinars with the local government people, and it has been very interesting to hear what other councils have to say. And, you know, here we don't seem to have as many issues as other councils do. We all seem to get on quite well and be polite, which is good. But I can see why there are a lot of these things being brought forward by the state government. But this year, I've lost count how many times they've put a discussion paper out, and then we need to read copious amounts of material about proposed changes which could have profound implications into the future. And it's just really, I found it really difficult to keep up to date with everything. And this particular one is just a mishmash of so many different things that they've all thrown in together. It just doesn't seem to be any real logic to it. But the one that I do agree, I don't agree with everything in this particular proposal that you've written, General Manager, but I will be supporting the motion. But the whole thing around professional development for councillors, I think, is really vital, and that we should all be taking as much opportunity to learn. Even if we think we know it all, we should be taking every opportunity there is to keep our skills current and to meet with other councils and network, because that helps us to be the best representers we can for our community. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? Comments? From my point of view, Jim, you've done a good job putting this together. There was a bit of a different view around the table of councillors. I'm sure some councillors will be putting their own submission in. At least we're looking at ourselves, we're looking at our sector, we're trying to make improvements. Whether we agree with the state government's process at the moment, that's not irrelevant, but at least something is moving down that path. To your point, Councillor Loder, of professional development, we should be doing that all the time. We should be making ourselves aware, we should be doing that, and I'll be supporting it. Councillor House, second or anything to add?
No, thank you.
Councillor Cameron, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That is unanimous, thank you. We have a motion to close the meeting to the public. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Loder, Councillor Dutton, thank you. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That is unanimous, thank you. We'll have a break before we hit any close, if that's okay.